Thank you. Good afternoon and happy Sabbath. Soon after meeting my beautiful wife in college, just over 40 years ago, I met her sister and learned her sister had a fear. She did not want to be a geek. That's what she would say often. Oh, great, we have to go there. I don't want to have to be standing around looking like a geek. Well, those that are younger than me, I might need to translate that word for you. So an AI search came back and said, the definition, geeks, nerds, and dorks are slang words for a person that could be perceived as socially awkward, unfashionable, or foolishly silly. I actually think foolishly silly is underrated. We might want to try to do that a little bit more sometimes. But anyway, that's a geek, a dork, or a nerd. It can be a mild insult, but it's sometimes used in a more playful, affectionate way. So today I'd like to give you a challenge. I'd like to encourage all of us to be dorks. Please turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and we'll learn a little bit more. You might already think I'm a dork, and after this message, I hope that you do. So Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. Let's explore a story about a lady whose name means gazelle. In Aramaic, it's Tabitha. In Greek, it's Dorcas. That's the dork. I'm guessing growing up, she would say, you might just want to call me Tabitha, please. So let's start in verse 36 of Acts chapter 9. It says in Joppa. So Joppa is in Tel Aviv. Joppa equals Tel Aviv. So if you've been to Israel on the coast, Tel Aviv, that's where the scene is set. So in Tel Aviv, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, translated Dorcas. There are two things that this lady was known for. She was known that she was full of good works and charitable deeds. Doing some research into some different translations, the NIV version says she was always doing good and helping the poor. So there's charity as one component and doing good. The NASB says it's deeds of kindness and charity that she continually did. So continually doing kindness and charity. And the God's Words translation says she always helped people and gave thanks to the poor. So a really exemplary behavior from Dorcas. But then in verse 37 it says, but it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. One of the commentaries highlighted they had not been preparing her for burial yet at this point, and we'll find out why in the next verse. So at this point, here is Dorcas. She's known for charity and love and helping others, especially the poor. Sick and died, they washed her and laid her in an upper room. The disciples had heard that Peter was there, in verse 38. Since Lydda was near Joppa. So I was looking at the map. Lydda, that's near the Tel Aviv airport. So if you go to Israel, you fly into the Tel Aviv airport, you either go north to Tel Aviv or you go south to Jerusalem. But if you're already up in Tel Aviv, which is Joppa, you have to go 9 miles just across where the airport is, basically, to get to Lydda. So they laid Dorcas, or Tabitha, in the upper room. They washed her. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men to him, imploring him, don't delay in coming. So 9 miles, two men. How fast could they run? Who knows? If they could do a 10-minute mile, that's 90 minutes. If they had Peter and everybody else, and you say, have to come back, how fast were they? Maybe 20-minute miles? So maybe it was 90 minutes to 2 hours to go to Lydda, and then double that time to come back. So maybe in the morning, go past where the airport is, although the airport wasn't there back then, right? Mm-hmm. And then come back, and then this is what happened after that. When he had come, this is Peter, they had brought him to the upper room. So now Tabitha is laid out in this upper room. She was dead. She had been washed. All the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made. I was talking with my mom, a pleasure to have my mom visiting. But I was talking with my mom and said, I wonder if this meant that Dorcas was making these tunics and garments for the other widows, or if she and the widows had like a sewing circle and they would make tunics and garments for everybody else. Whatever it was, Dorcas would make tunics and garments, possibly with or for the widows that are mentioned. So they were standing by, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put them all out, knelt down and prayed, turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, arise." We won't turn there, but it's an interesting side note. Mark chapter 5 and verse 41, Jairus' daughter died. When Christ went to resurrect her, he said, "Talitha, arise." Talitha means little maid. So Christ said, "Talitha, arise," back in Mark. Here, Peter said, "Tabitha." Well, that's her name. "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand, lifted her up. When he called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known through all Joppa, so all of Tel Aviv, and many believed on the Lord. And so it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon the Tanner. If I have a chance to go back to Tel Aviv, Simon the Tanner's house, or what they think it might have been, is there. I would like to see that. So that's on my bucket list of sometime, maybe. If you get a chance to go there and see it, please let me know what you think. So with that background, I would now like to go to one other verse, and that's what we'll focus on for the rest of the sermonette. Please turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. So Dorcas did a lot of good things, or Tabitha. We should consider being lights and being Christians and how we could try to emulate being a Dork or Dorcas-like. But now let's consider it through this lens of Galatians 6 and verse 9 and 10. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith." Now, I'd like to share my thoughts on this verse when I was a 20-year-old and is now almost a 60-year-old, because it's changed. As a 20-year-old, I had the opportunity to go to Sri Lanka. I was there for a year teaching English and speech and computer skills to a combination of students. They were Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists and all types. And also we had a few church members there. At that time, it was my junior year, between junior and senior year of college, I had the obligatory scripture memory cards. And a scripture memory card for this verse is what I put on my mirror to start my day each day with a smile, hopefully, to think about, I'm here in a foreign country. Food was interesting. I got to where I liked it over time. And an incredible experience. But it was very much, let us not grow weary while doing good. In due season, we shall reap if we don't lose heart. If we have an opportunity to do good for all, especially of the household of faith. So my thinking back then was, what's supposed to happen after mile 18 in a marathon? Mile 19, keep going. Buck up, little Bucky. Man up. Push through. Make it work. That's how I viewed this. So even if I had really hot curries the night before and I didn't sleep well, my stomach's upset, let us not grow weary while doing good. This is the time, even if you're not feeling so good, find a way to push through it. So my perspective of this verse back then is, a lot of times people I don't think do as much good as they could because they're weary, and it's, oh, I'm a little tired. I just will choose to not do something. That could be true, but let me also take it to a different perspective. First of all, let's look at the word weary. The Greek word is enkakomen, E-N-K-A-K-O-M-E-N. It means to faint or to be weary, but the root word's interesting. It means to be weak, to fail, or to be faint. To fail could also mean don't weary ourselves out so much that we have nothing else to give. For anybody that's flown on a plane, if you hear the announcement, if in the event of an emergency, the oxygen masks drop down, what are you supposed to do? What if you love your child more than you? Wouldn't you want to put the air mask on the child? You should, with the consideration that you have to give oxygen for yourself, so you can then help others around you. So transitioning into now how I view this verse from a different generational perspective, there's also the combination or the importance that we need to make sure that we have oxygen for ourselves so that we can give oxygen to others. So don't be weary by wearing ourselves out and trying to give too much and more than what we can do that can then impact it. I'd like to focus also on, as we have opportunity, our opportunities change for a variety of reasons through the years. So I'd like to change this a little bit in that a lot of times preparing for a message, you can do some research and you study it and you put together the format and you can either read it or say it or something. But I'd like to just get real and just share emotion and just a real current or recent experience for me. Many of you know our daughter Samantha was in the epileptic monitoring unit just a week ago. She knew going in that was not going to be fun. Have to put electrodes on your head, 5 days, sleep deprivation, other things can happen to try to trigger seizure. She's going in there knowing she's not going to be happy. Jan, Josh, and I were there with her. We weren't excited to go. We were happy and honored to go to help her. But as I've told others, hospital time is hard time. It's especially hard on the patient. It's also hard on the family. I was supposed to give the sermon at last weekend. I appreciate Ken Japhet swapping with me, so that's why you got me today. But I was thinking about this message and about growing weary and well-doing. And I was thinking, I'm weary. This is happening to me. So then I thought, well, what can I do to try to help? So I thought, well, something that I can do, something that everybody can do is smile. So when a nurse comes in, smile. Be kind, be polite. That's something all of us can do most all the time. What about beyond smiling? Look for ways to help. So for me, it was make sure the family gets food, and what can we do to help, and what are some little things? And I'll take a small risk in that I believe we should do good deeds in private to lay up treasures in heaven. But I had something as I was still thinking about this. I went out to go get groceries. So maybe I'll lose a penny in heaven, and hopefully that doesn't bankrupt me. So I was at a Kroger, and I had just gotten some food for the family. And I wasn't really paying attention. And then by my good ear, which is a good thing I heard this, so by my good ear I heard a lady say, she's on her phone at the checkout counter, it didn't go through, I don't know what I'm going to do. We know that there are challenges that many people are going through. Food is a real insecurity for many, and I think all of us would try to help if we get a chance. And at that point, it just hit me, and I said, okay, would it be okay with you if I would pay for your groceries? She said, would you? Oh, thank you, that's so nice. Then I saw her cart. It was a huge cart. And I thought, oh no, I don't know what I just did. So it's like I gave the card and it came back with a number that was much less than I thought. And I thought, good, I dodged that one kind of. But the idea of when it says we should do good in due season, reap if we don't lose heart, as we have opportunity, I could have ignored like I didn't hear that. Or I could have said, you know, is there something else you can do? Or I could have just done nothing. It was the right thing to do. And I think that most all of you, if you had the right situation, that you would do similar. So I would just encourage us. We can be weary at times. And that might change the opportunities we have to give. But as we have opportunities to give to everybody, including in the faith and outside the faith, we should be looking for ways to share our light and example and be positive to all. I was also considering back growing up in the 70s in the church that had a big youth program. And we were a poor church area. And a few of the ladies got together and sewed basketball uniforms and cheerleading outfits. My wife said Southern California did the same. I'm sure there's many. Those blue uniforms, I was a little guy, 9. I had blue uniforms with red stripes and stars. Those were just, they looked just beautiful to me. But the amount of effort that maybe a Dorcas-like widow's sewing circle put together to do that, that's something wonderful to consider. So if you have the ability to do good, now I'm not making anybody tunics, and you wouldn't want the tunics. So give something that's good and help where you can based on what you're able to do. So Dorcas didn't stop. She found ways to continually give both to friends and to those who needed charity. And she made such an impact on her community that when she died, they didn't prepare her for burial immediately. Let's wash her. Let's put her in an upper room. And Peter's just 9 miles away. Somebody send for Peter, just maybe. So today I'd encourage us to ask ourselves, what can I do with what I have, with where I am, to show the love of Christ? Maybe it's a word of encouragement, a simple act of generosity. You never know how God can use it, because just like Dorcas, your kindness can outlive you and inspire generations to come. The quiet acts of love that meet the needs of others. It's easy to look at the world and say, somebody should help. Dorcas said, I can help. She saw a need, and she met it. So although my sister-in-law did not want to be a geek, I encourage us to be a dork, or Dorcas-like, to consistently look for good deeds of kindness and charity as we go forward. So I'd like to conclude by reading Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Thank you.